Morning, it sure is good to see everybody here this morning. We have several people that are visiting with us. It is always our hope and always our desire that those of you that are visiting will feel so welcome that whenever you are here in the Lindell area again, that you will come back and worship God together with us again. If you'll notice from the name of the title on the overhead and from the sermon outline, my sermon this morning is dealing with responsibility of the husband to the wife. And so, you ladies, you get to kick back and rest. I'm talking to your husbands. And I'm talking to you young men who may not be married yet. But in the future, Lord willing, hopefully, you will get married. But the sermon tonight now is going to be to the women. We're going to be talking to the wives tonight, so you better come back. Husbands, push them to come back. It's their turn tonight. The lesson tonight is going to be discussing the responsibility of the wife to the husband. We're going to begin this two-part series of lessons by going over to Psalms 127 and verse 1. Unless the Lord builds a house, they labor in vain who build it. I want you to understand that it is God who instituted marriage. In the very beginning, when God created man, he saw that it was not good for man to be alone. For this reason, he created woman. In the very beginning, God instituted a relationship between the man and the woman, his husband and wife. And throughout his word, he has given responsibilities to the husband and to the wife in this relationship. Please understand there are commands that our King and our God gives to we men as husbands. And these commands are just as important as any other command in the Word of God. And there are commands given to wives, to women, by God and by the King, as to how you are to treat your husband in this relationship. I have found from my experience as a preacher of the Word of God, and part of my work as a preacher is doing marriage counseling. I've been preaching now for 25 years, and so what that means is I've been doing marriage counseling for 25 years. And I have found from this experience that every individual or marriages where they're having marital problems, it is always because of the same thing. Either one of them or both of them are not doing what God says do in the relationship. You will find that if we will hear the Word of God and do what the Father says, you remember the old song that you learned whenever you were a little kid and the early classes, the wise man built his house upon the rock. What that is talking about, even though it's a very simple lesson, it is dealing with someone who hears and does. The person who hears and does what the Father says, there's going to come storms, and they're going to come and beat upon your life and upon your marriage. But if you do what the Father says do, you will find that your marriage will stand the storms of life. Who is the person who has the house built on the sand? That's the person who hears the Word of God and does not do what he says do. If you do not build the house according to the way the Lord says build it, if you're not following God's commands on how to treat your husband and treat your wife, there's going to come storms and they're going to beat upon your marriage. And if your marriage is not based upon the Word of God, don't be surprised when it comes crumbling down. As I told you, in all the marriage counseling, all the 25 years as a marriage counselor, where there have been marital problems, it's either because one or both of them are not fulfilling their God-given commands and responsibilities to one another. Now, that being stated, our sermon this morning and tonight is going to be going into the Word of God to find out what our God gives us as responsibilities and commands to our spouse. We're going to begin now in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 25. I wanted to start here because this, I believe, is the primary command of the husband to the wife. Please recognize this, husbands. Our wives have a primary need. It is dealing with the way in which God created them. It is the primary need of the female, your wife. Her need is to be loved. If you go into the scriptures, you're going to find over and over and over again, the command is given to the husband to love the wife. In Ephesians 5 and 25, husbands, love your wives. even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. How much did Christ love the church? He gave and he gave and he gave to the point of the death of the cross. He came to this earth in the form of a servant, flesh and blood. And we need to realize we cannot comprehend the magnitude of that sacrifice, of being equal with God and giving up that and coming to this earth in the form of flesh and blood. But that's not where it stopped. He understood our need. And our need was to have our sins forgiven. And in order to see that our needs were met, he gave all of his whole existence and life. He died on the cross for you. Now, husband, please understand, that's the magnitude with which we are to be loving our wives. Coming to understand what their needs are and doing everything in our power to fulfill their emotional, physical, and spiritual needs. If you wonder what love is, you'll find the best definition of it over in 1 Corinthians 13. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself and is not puffed up. Does not behave rudely. Does not seek its own. Is not provoked. Thinks no evil. Does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Bears all things. Believes all things. Hopes all things, endures all things, love never fails. Now you may be saying to yourselves, well, what's the point, preacher? Okay, that's the definition of love from the scriptures. The point is, if we are to love our wives as Christ loved the church, we need to understand what love is and then put it into application. I'll show you the point I'm trying to make. Just take this text here in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, where we have the definition of love given to us, and all you have to do is put the relationship of the husband and wife in the definition. Husbands, be long-suffering with your wife. There's going to be storms. There's going to be difficulties. One of the most frustrating things I see in relationships nowadays, it's more like, I will marry you and I will be faithful to you until we have a difficult time and then I'm out. As soon as we have difficult times, I'm leaving. As long as everything goes fine, I'll stay. No. Till death do you part means till death do you part. And that's going to require some long suffering because there's going to be difficult times. And you don't give up on marriage and your wife just because you're going through a difficult time. Be kind to your wife. We're going to be talking about that in greater detail when we go to honor. But treat your wife with kindness. Do not treat your wife with envy or pride. Do not treat your wife rudely. And again, we're going to be talking about that more later on in honor. Do not be selfish. Now, I want to stop right here. Because you remember back in Ephesians, Christ loved the church so much that he gave. Husbands and wives. Because some of you may not be back tonight, so I want you to get this point. Whenever I have dealt with marital problems, it's either because one or both of them are selfish. And that is, they do not care how their actions are affecting their husband or their wife. I'm going to do this whether you like it or not because I want to do it. Is it going to hurt you? Well, yes. Does it upset you? Well, yes. But I want to do it, so therefore I don't care. Listen to me. If you're going to love your wife and love your husband, you've got to quit being selfish. I remember one time I heard someone say, love is a give and take relationship. Give 50 and take 50. That's not true. Because if you give 50 and take 50, that means you're going to be fighting half the time. Now, I want to give you the proper scriptural understanding of the give and take relationship. Husbands, give 100% of yourself to your wife. Wives, give 100% of yourself to your husband. Please comprehend the magnitude of that relationship. Where here you have a husband and his whole current concern and care is, what are your needs? How may I be able to serve you? What can I do for you? What are your feelings on the matter? And she comes first, not you. And the wife, in turn, doing the same thing toward the husband. What are your needs? What are your cares? What are your concerns? How may I be able to serve and help you? You give 100 and you take 100. Not being selfish. Continuing in the text here, do not be easily provoked with your wife. There are going to be things that are going to be taking place that are going to get on your nerves sometimes. Learn not to be easily provoked. Do not think evil of your wife. Do not rejoice when your wife is in sin. You rejoice when your wife obeys the truth. You should take great pleasure in the spiritual strength of your wife and her striving to serve the Lord by faith. In your relationship with your wife, you'll bear all the trials of life with your wife because you love her. You know how the vows go in sickness and in health? Wealth and in poverty? All the trials. There's going to be difficulties sometimes with finances. You stay in there. You be faithful to her. You love her. There's going to come times when she's going to get sick. She's going to need you to take care of her. You be there for her. And all the trials of life, when all the storms come and hit upon your marriage, it's going to stand because you love her. You trust your wife. You hope the very best for your wife. You love your wife. Your love for your wife will endure time and trials. Remember, getting back to the definition of love, love endures all things. Love never fails. You will love your wife till death do you part. That's what we mean when we say love your wife as Christ loved the church. Come to understand the magnitude of the command. And husbands, we need to understand if we are going to be servants of Christ and serious about our relationship with our King, we are expected to strive with all of our ability to fulfill this command. It is a serious thing not to obey the commands of the King. And these are commands from the King about our relationship with our wife. I would like to now go to the Old Testament book of Proverbs 30 and 21 through 23. Under three things the earth trembles, under four it cannot bear up. A servant who becomes king, a fool who is full of food, an unloved woman who is married, and a maidservant who displaces her mistress. If you don't understand this phrase, under three things the earth trembles, I'll put this into another word today. It's called frustration. You're just absolutely frustrated. You can't even stand to be around this person. And one of the greatest frustrations a person can experience is for a woman to be married and not be loved by her husband. Now listen to me, men and husbands. The primary need of your wife, the primary need, the way God created them, they need to be loved. And please understand this. Love is meant to be expressed. Love is meant to be shown. Over again in Proverbs 27 and 5, better is open rebuke than hidden love. Hidden love doesn't do anybody any good. It doesn't do anybody any good. The person who loves is not blessed by it, and the person who is loved is not blessed by it. Why is open rebuke better? Well, at least you know where they stand. If someone loves you and there's no expression of it, it doesn't do anybody any good. The point of all this, brethren, is this. Husbands, tell your wife how much you love her. She needs to hear this often. Several times a day. It needs to be shown in actions. I'll give you examples of this. Y'all know the old song, there's a thousand ways to say I love you. Give your wife hugs. Hugs. She needs to be touched with love. Hugs. Words of I love you. Don't forget Valentine's, you know, coming right around the corner. Don't forget it. Don't forget her birthday. Do not forget the anniversary. give her flowers, not only on special days, but often when it's just her regular day. Take her out to eat at her special restaurant. Show her kindness and consideration and affection. Your wife needs affection. It is her primary need. Please understand this and tell her. If you do not tell your wife that you love her, if you do not show her that you love her, she is going to be frustrated. Now then, the second primary command given to we husbands is to honor our wife. I would like to give you a definition primarily of what we mean when we say honor. Honor is primarily, and again, this is just from Vine's Expository Dictionary, honor is primarily a valuing. That is recognizing the treasure that someone is and then treating them accordingly. Over in Proverbs 31 and 10, who can find a virtuous woman for a price is far above rubies? Again, in Proverbs 12 and 4, a virtuous woman is a crown to her husband. These two proverbs are dealing with the idea of treasure. The treasure your wife is to you. Now, when it says a more precious than rubies, you need to understand in the ancient world, whenever you were doing trading, if you were going to trade for something really valuable, one of the most valuable things you could find, even more valuable than gold, were rubies. And the idea is she is the most precious treasure you will ever be blessed with. Husbands, listen to me. We are stewards of God, that God has entrusted with great blessings and great treasure. The greatest physical treasure God will ever entrust into your hands is your wife. Your children are great treasures, yes. But the greatest physical treasure God will ever bless you with will be your wife. Honor is letting your wife know the treasure that she is to you in words and action. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 7. Husbands, likewise, dwell with them with understanding, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered. Here again, we're seeing this command that we honor the wife and we give honor to the wife as the weaker vessel. Now, what does the scripture mean when it talks about the wife as the weaker vessel? Is the idea that she's spiritually weaker? Well, no, I don't think that's correct. Even though Eve sinned first, I don't think that's what it's talking about. Is it the idea that she's mentally weaker? Well, that's not the case. I know some women that are some pretty sharp women. So it's not mental and it's not spiritual. It is dealing with the fact of the emotional difference between men and women and the physical difference. But the idea here, actually, if you'll notice, in the ancient world, they had wood utensils. And the wooden utensils were pretty much like our Tupperware today. We have some pretty cheap plates. And when you bring out the Tupperware, you don't mind, you kind of throw that in the sink. We also have some fine china. And in the ancient world, they had very fine, delicate pottery. And the idea of the delicate pottery was it wasn't something that you just threw around. It was important and it was precious to you, and it was meant to be treated delicately. You don't throw the china into the sink. You treat it delicately. Okay, bringing all this together now. We're talking about honor and the weaker vessel. First of all, dwelling with them according to knowledge is the idea of understanding this difference between the husband and the wife. Understanding, now get this, men, get this, husbands, they're not men. Your wife is not another man. And she is not to be treated the way men treat other men. I explain it sometime this way. Men are like buffaloes. We feel the cold wind. It affects us, but we shake it off, and keep going. Women are butterflies. That same wind will throw them all over the place. Women are more in touch with their emotions than men. Generally speaking, most men are left-brained. If you don't understand what that means, left-brained means we're primarily logical beings. We focus on one thing at a time. Women have this awesome ability to juggle. They can take care of many things going on at one time. But another thing is that women, as a result of being right-brained, are more in touch with their feelings and their emotions. Bringing all this together, husbands, when you talk to your wives, you do not speak to them rudely. You speak to them with kindness and gentleness. You treat them as the delicate ladies that they are. They are delicate ladies. They are not meant to be spoken to gruffly and roughly and rudely and harshly. They are meant to be spoken to and treated gently, delicately as ladies. And in the text here, Christian ladies. Your sister in Christ. You'll see this over in the Colossian letter, 3 and verse 19. Husband, love your wives and do not be bitter against them. The idea of being bitter against your wife is treating her and speaking to her in a rude, harsh way. Words sometimes that would bounce off of a man, that when they feel like a pebble to a man, those same words spoken to a woman would be a boulder that would crush her. Again, the weaker vessel, more delicate. You do not speak to her like you speak to another man. You recognize and dwell with her according to knowledge. She's a lady. And you treat her and speak to her with the gentleness due a lady, not with bitterness. In marriages that I have dwelt with, I have found that Proverbs 18 and verse 14 is a verse that is something I've seen many times. The spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity, but a wounded spirit who can bear? That's an awesome verse. I've known some people who have extreme physical illnesses and they're able to tap it out and smile at you and just keep on going, and you may not even know they've got a physical illness. But then he talks about another kind of wound, a wounded spirit. A wounded spirit, who can bear that? If you show dishonor to your wife and you speak to her rudely, and you speak to her in a condescending way, and you're yelling at her and speaking to her in a harsh way, you need to understand something. This method of communication and treatment over a period of time will cause your wife to close up. She will build a wall around herself because she will no longer trust you with her heart or her feelings. I have dealt in marriage counseling with husbands and wives who both had walls built around themselves, who both had wounded spirits because of extended expressions of dishonor. They've been yelling, and feuding, and hurting one another with words so long that they would no longer trust their wife to come out and be who they really were in front of their wife. There was one gentleman I knew that whenever he was around anybody else other than his wife, he was the most amiable, nicest guy, funniest guy, just loved to be around him. And as soon as his wife walked into the room, he was somebody completely different. He'd close up. He was completely different around her than he was around anyone else. And I've seen wives the same way. They'd be very kind almost to a stranger. They'd be more willing to open up to a stranger than they would their own husband, because he had wounded her spirit. And this is what I've told and had to work with people who have walls built because of extended dishonor over a period of time. What builds a wall and what causes the wounded spirit is extended dishonor. There is only one thing one thing that will tear a wall down if it exists. Listen to me, husbands. Real honor. Real honor. All right, I'm going to explain it to you this way. Here comes a dog in your backyard. He's coming up to you. You got some food in your hand. He comes up to you, and as he's coming up and he's reaching toward the food, bam! You slap him in the head. What's that dog going to do? He's going to run off. Next time you come in the backyard, what's that dog going to do? Come running up to you? No, that dog's not going to come up to you. You slapped him. You hurt him. And so how are you going to get that dog to trust you enough to come up to you? What you do is you come out there every day and you keep on showing, I'm not going to hit you. You can hold the biggest stake out there, but he won't come. And you got to keep on and keep on and keep on and be real. Now let me ask you this. What after months and months and months of trying to get that dog to come up and take the food out of your hand, if he comes to take the food and you slap him again, what's he going to do? He ain't never coming back. He ain't never coming back. If you burn your wife enough, she will build a wall around herself and she won't come out. And if you fool her with a quick fix, then it's what I call it, a quick fix. I'll be kind to you for a while. To where you finally lull her into coming out and then you stomp on her again, she's gone and she ain't coming back. It's got to be real, not a quick fix. Real honor. If you have not been treating your wife with honor, there is no quick fix that will fix it. It's got to be a real repentance, change of heart, change of life for real, or the wall will not come down. And one of the most things I come across often is an individual who has built a wall thinks all I got to do is show kindness to her for a couple of days. And they come and they go, why won't she tear down that wall? Why won't she trust me? Now, why won't she come out? I've been kind to her for almost 3 days. Now, listen real close. Walls do not get built overnight. And they come down usually one stone at a time. They're going to take time to tear them down. What created the wall was a lack of honor and respect. And there's only one thing that will tear it down. Honor and respect that's real. Let's get back now to this concept that she is the great treasure of your life. Please recognize that your wife is going to need attention. Attention. Putting it in a more blunt fashion, there's going to come a time when your wife is probably going to be jealous of the television. She's going to be jealous if it's golf, she's going to be jealous of golf. If you like to hunt, she's probably going to be jealous of hunting. If you like to fish, it's going to be fishing. If you work a long hours, she'll probably be jealous of your job. If you give the children more attention than her, she'll even get jealous of the children. Your wife is the greatest treasure of your life. Needs to be on a pedestal and be given the attention and honor and known that she is the treasure. It is something shown by time given to her. Your wife needs time with you. Time with you. Listening to her talk even. That's right. Spend time allowing your wife to express her fears, her concerns, her problems to you. And just listen. Share time with your wife, doing things together. She wants to be with you, together with you. And watching television together is not doing it. Interacting together in the relationship is a need of your wife. Give her the time and the affection that is due her as your wife. And that being said, We'll go to Proverbs 31 and 28. Her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. You're going to find that your wife is probably working extremely hard around your house. And I'll be honest with you, I believe the modern day American woman has more expected of her than probably any other women in history. I know past history has some difficult times. I mean, going across the country in a covered wagon, coming to this country of America on a ship, difficult survival in the past. But in the present world, women have been pushed out into the secular world to where now quite often they are expected to hold down double duty. They are expected to help provide for the family financially as well as do the work around the home. You need to realize that the women of modern time are being worn out, running nonstop. Now then, if you choose to work outside the home, that's your business. But you know this to be the case, women. When you come home, you're already tired. You're already tired. And your family's still hungry. And the clothes still get dirty and need to be washed. And you probably have a desire to keep your house in order and spend time with your children. So don't be surprised that you're worn out. The only point I want to get across, husbands, is this. Let your wives know how much you appreciate them. If they cook a meal for you, thank them. When you go to your wardrobe and you open your dresser drawer and there are your clean clothes, thank them for washing your clothes. Thank them for cleaning the house. Acknowledge the work that they are doing for you and the family and give them the praise that is due them as your wife and as the mother of your children. They are doing an awesome amount of work. I have crossed women before and come across them and have told me they feel used. Like nobody acknowledges and nobody cares. And all they do is work, 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 and nobody seems to care. Give them the praise due them. The third foundation plank in your marriage is being faithful to your wife. Proverbs 5:15, drink water from your own cistern and running water from your own well. Again, in Proverbs 6 and 32, whoever commits adultery with a woman lacks understanding. Who does so destroys his own soul. There are three foundation planks in every marriage. Love, honor, and trust. That's it. By the way, you probably already have tonight's outline as well. You'd be surprised. It's just going to be a reversal. Love, honor, trust. Love is unconditional. Honor is unconditional. But listen to this. Trust is something you earn. And it is only because of the destruction of trust that God allows divorce. He doesn't allow you to divorce your husband if he doesn't love you. He doesn't allow you to divorce your husband because he watches television or he hunts too much or he's not good with finances. But if your husband commits adultery on you, you've got grounds to divorce him as though he's dead. The relationship is over because a major foundation plank has been destroyed. One who commits adultery lacks understanding because by doing this, you're destroying your soul, your relationship with God. You're destroying the relationship with the greatest treasure God has ever given you, your wife. And if you have children, you need to realize it's hurting the relationship with your children. A husband or a wife who commits adultery lacks understanding because they're destroying everything. Everything that's really important in their life, they're just tearing it to pieces. Be faithful to your wife. Remember the old song, I only have eyes for you? Don't watch or read pornography. Don't lie to your wife. Be honest with your wife. You can lie to your wife and destroy trust that way. In one marriage counseling I was doing one time, this gentleman lied so much that his wife didn't know if he was being faithful to her. Even though he said, I haven't been trying to be unfaithful. How do I know he's telling the truth? Don't lie. Be honest. Be faithful. Have eyes only for your wife. Have sexual relationships with your wife only. Till death do you part. And then one last point, and the lesson will be yours. 1 Timothy 5:8. But if anyone does not provide for his own, especially for those of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. In the family relationship, we as husbands have the responsibility to provide for our family's needs. Our wife has needs. Our children have needs. One of the main things that your wife needs is to be able to depend on you. To know that you will be there. You will uphold your responsibilities as the husband and as the father. You can be counted on. You're not going to leave. They need security. They need to know they can count on you. That you're going to give it your all. You're going to do the very best you can to take care of them and the children. Proverbs 24:27. Finish your outdoor work. Get your fields ready. After that, build your house. Work hard at your physical jobs. Whatever job it is that you do, do it with all your might, doing the very best you can to bring home an income with your job. But please realize this. When you get home, there's a lot of work around the house that needs to be done. Does your grass still grow? Does your garden still get filled with weeds? Does your sink leak? Yeah, okay. Are there things falling apart around your house that need attention? Fix them as best you can with what you've got. Try to hold it together as best you can with what you've got for as long as you can. Give it the attention. Give your house, your physical house where you are living and around it, the attention due it after you've done your job at work. And then finally, Ephesians 6:4. And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. Be a father to your children, spending time with your children, teaching your children, being the spiritual leader of your family, helping your wife and your children get to heaven. There is work that needs to be done in the family. As the husband and the father, fulfill the commands God has given us to do this work, to provide for their physical needs, their emotional needs, and their spiritual needs. As I told you, your wife needs security. She needs to know, I can count on him. He's going to do the very best he can with what he's got to take care of all of our needs. If we will build the house according to the way the Lord says build it, there are going to come storms. Just because you obey these commands does not mean there's not going to be storms. In every marriage, there are going to be storms and difficulties and trials that will hit it. But because you have built your marriage on the rock, and you're doing it the way the Lord says doing it, when the storms do come, the marriage and the home will stand. We'll close again by reminding us three foundation points. Love your wife as Christ loved the church. Come to understand what love is and spend the rest of your life striving to love your wife to this level. Honoring your wife, recognizing the great treasure that she is and treating her accordingly. Giving her respect and honor in the way in which you speak to her and treat her delicately as a Christian lady. Be faithful to your wife. No one else but your wife. Till death do you part. And fulfill your responsibilities in taking care of the needs of your family. If you do it this way, you'll have the most wonderful marriage I believe you could ever hope for. Again, it doesn't mean you're not going to have trials. But you'll be able to get the most joy and blessings out of that relationship that the Lord wants you to enjoy. Now tonight is going to be the other side of the coin. Husbands, get your wife to come back. And if she says, but I don't feel like it. Ladies, this lesson was for your husbands. Now it's your turn tonight. I hope you'll come back. There may be somebody, though, that's not already a member of the body of Christ. If you believe in your heart that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and you're willing to openly confess that faith and repent of your sins, we'll be glad to assist you and baptize you into the body of Christ. If you're a child of God and you've left our Lord and gone into the world, if you desire to come home, we'll be glad to pray for you and pray with you. If you are subject to the gospel call in any way, let us know where we stand and sing the psalms that have been selected.